Good evening, folks. Welcome back. Hope you all had a nice Christmas. It is January 10th, 2018, Wednesday evening, and this is a courtroom observer's call. Welcome, one and all. Well, probably everybody has heard by now, out in Nevada, Judge Navarro has ruled that there were too many flagrant violations by the prosecution, the government. And her only remedy left to her was to dismiss all charges with prejudice. So all the Bundys and everybody except those that had already been found guilty were able to go home. Now the battle is to let the ones that have already been found guilty and imprisoned to get them out. That should not be a problem, I hope. I don't think the judge came to this determination on her own. I think she had help from the DOJ, which probably came from President Trump. But anyway, the trials are over. All charges dismissed, and they will not come back. They cannot be tried again. Not on these charges, anyway. So the government has lost all the way around on these trials. I think things are changing. I see our constitutional republic being returned to we the people. Does anybody have any comment on that thought?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Krista. How you doing?
Doing fine.
I didn't hear the question.
Well, I was just talking about the trial out in Nevada, and I made the statement that I thought that I could see our constitutional republic being returned to us. There's a change coming, and I wondered if anybody had any thoughts on that.
Well, that's great. I was in court Monday. They had sent, and they said the motion was ready and everything, and when I got there, I guess they changed the paperwork for Friday, and then they wouldn't call me, and then the attorney that summoned me to court, she was shocked to see me there, and I said, this was so strange, because the judge started going out in a numerical order, and I was number three to be called for sure calendar stay. So the judge was, hold on one second. Hello? I'm on the phone right now, but the, can I call you right back? Are you going to be coming on the call? Tonight. Right.
Hello. Is tonight the health call or tomorrow night's health?
I'm sorry. Hello? What was that?
Was tonight the health call?
No, that's tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow. No, it's tomorrow night, Dr. Barbara Franks. It's tomorrow night. At 8 o'clock tomorrow night? I believe it's...
It'll be at 8 o'clock Eastern time, yes.
Okay, yes. It's tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Oh. All right, bye-bye. I'm sorry. All righty. And so what had happened, they basically totally ignored me. So the judge said, did I miss any numbers? So the gentleman, I guess the attorney, goes, yeah, you missed mine. I'm number two on the docket, and I'm raising my hand because I was number three. He never acknowledged me. He looked at me and just wouldn't say nothing. Then the attorney that had me to come to try to take my property, she then got up and left. And she looked at me so strange. But see, what I did, I put the grievance in, and I put the subrogation and all that, and she never answered. So tomorrow I send my third one. So I said that, and everybody's like, what the heck's going on here? You know? So yep. When I went downstairs to the clerk's office, I said, by the way, I heard that I was due in court on Friday, which was unknown to me. And the person who called me, she goes, here it goes. And I saw my name on there, and the judge said, denied, and to move forward, taking it. They had no records of it. I said, good, let's get this printed. Do you know, within that 5 minutes when we went to go get that record printed, they deleted the information, like it ever was.
Sounds like they're trying to get rid of you.
Yeah, so this is a really strange, bizarre thing. So I said, let's go back to the clerk office. I said, I'm supposed to be in court. So she goes, oh, you're supposed to be in court right now. Matter of fact, you should be upstairs right now. I said, they didn't even acknowledge me. And this and that. And she goes, well, no, they got you down here for a short calendar stay. And, you know, they said motion ready. Okay. I said, can I get please get a copy of that? She said, no, I can't give you a copy. She goes, you got to go out in the lobby and get it from the clerk at the reception desk. So I went out there, and he goes, yes, you're supposed to be there up in the courtroom, whatever it was, 5DB or whatever. I said, can I have a copy of that? And he goes, yeah, and then all of a sudden he comes back and goes, well, I don't know what's going on, but I guess they changed it. I said, I want a copy of it right now. So on there, I guess when they were trying to change it, they just had my docket number, date, and then it had like zero and nothing else was written on it. I said, I want that copy. And I said, I want it notarized. He goes, there's nothing on it. I said, give me that. So I wrote today's date, my name, why I was here, and I was never notified that my case was canceled. And I had four witnesses with me, and I said, I want you all, and I said, witness by, and I had them all to write their names, and I said, I want you to notarize this. I want it notarized, and I want it stamped. And he looked at me, and he didn't want to do it, but he had to do it. And I said, this was so, so crazy and strange. But another thing, too, everybody definitely needs to write the grievances on these attorneys and stuff.
Well, this your case is... Man.
What's the matter?
All kinds of twists and turns.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like the ironic thing, you know, when they have you to go there and they're writing and all that, it was nothing but the bar straight across, like they were getting rid of, in the process of trying to delete that.
Yeah.
And that's all I got for my proof, and along with the witnesses.
Make sure you talk to John or Gerard on this.
Okay, yeah. I definitely try to explain. I try to call. Are they going to be on tonight?
No, they won't be on tonight. But probably easiest to get a hold of Gerard.
Okay. Yeah, I did. I left a message, I think.
But do try to get a hold of him and tell him about this.
Yeah, I thought that was quite, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be at that Ways on Sunday. But that was like, I said, something's coming. And everybody's like, what the heck was that about? And she walked out. I saw her when she looked back at me. She looked very uneasy. And I guess when she was walking out, they were like, Crystal, she looked at you so, so strange. And she went, they go, let's go. I said, let's go what? She goes, she just left. Wait a minute. How could she leave? And I'm still here.
Well, I hate to say what I think, but, you know, so that's why I say get a hold of Gerard so you get straight information.
But what do you think about that?
Well, it just seems to me like they're trying to get rid of your case.
Oh.
Like they've lost interest in you.
Well, I hope that's so. Although I got another stupid letter from the court again today for the 22nd. But they never responded to anything I asked. And that was something Gerard had mentioned, too. He goes, they can't do anything. They got to answer you.
Yeah, they do.
And they have not answered anything. And I sent them the third. Well, this is going to be this week. Tomorrow will be the final. And I'm going to ask for a dismissal.
Absolutely.
Okay, but I just wanted to share that with you.
All right, well, yeah, it's there are so many twists and turns, but you know, you just got to keep fighting. You got to make sure you're there when they tell you to be there, and
exactly,
and
yeah,
keep them boxed in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, and I also, I got the transcript from the federal court. And she goes, oh, no, that's not so. And it was funny, some of the questions I was asking. And she she was like, well, I'm not sure about this. And she goes, oh, it's legal to do this and that and da-da-da. And so, like, the people that I brought with me, they said, well, Krista, you were all over the place. I said, no. I said, I asked certain questions because I wanted her to answer and respond. And I said, and the reason why I asked the questions is because they had the court stenographer there. So everything we said, it's on transcript. So get the copies of that.
Yep.
You know, but they find it, as I said, but, you know, I try to bring different ones to the court to be court observers so they can start understanding, because they said everybody's going through the same similar situation. You know.
Well, it's a nightmare for you. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that would not have the fortitude that you have to keep fighting. But I think you're proving that you must.
You know what? Because as a matter of fact, one of the attorneys, about 2-3 years ago, he goes, I can't understand why you're in your house. I said, well, it's not for you to understand. I said, I leave it in Jehovah God's hands. You know? And, but it's just like, you know, in my heart, if I know it's not right, you know, I make things a matter of prayer in everything I do. And You know, as I said, Victor, but I thank all the youth and the national, you know, for learning and just all of us putting our heads together, because this is such a wonderful support group where we're all helping each other. And there was some other stuff which I also mailed. John and them about the different papers that I did record about the different the grievances, the subrogation, and I was also told about the life use and stuff like that, and record different things on my records. But as I said, I gave them everything, and when I get a chance to get up there, I'm gonna go and get the copies of it, so this way they could see everything that was, you know, I recorded on my deeds.
Right.
And that should be helpful to other people, too.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
I do believe that we're going to have our courts back, but they're not back yet. Until they are, we must be ready to fight for what we have.
So a lot of people, as they said, this perpetrating of the fraud and note the due process and the proof of claim, who's the injured party, learning the different terminologies, it's just so important. Who's the injured party? Like, they feel
right.
Like they're given right to come and steal. And I kept on saying, well, the attorneys is nobody but the debt collector. Can I please see your contract? When did I take out a contract? Oh, and by the way, they're all plunging. Sikorsky, GE, they're selling off all their stocks. Over $20 billion for the CE, and that's the ones who are going after me. And I'm like, wait a second. You know, so like when they sit there and sell the names and all this other stuff, they figure, oh, well, we're gonna be taking it in behalf of GE. You know, when they're selling everybody's names and all the lien holders and what have you. There's this other case going on right now where they foreclosed on the property, but she filed all her paperwork. And what has happened, she asked for the sheriff, because the sheriff has to have a notarized letter on wet ink from the judge, and there is nothing. There was quite a few things that she filed. And I guess they are so upset because, like, they're like boxed in, and now they want the person to move out the house and stating that she's a squatter. I said, let me tell you something, what they've been doing with all the foreclosures here. They are not changing the names on none of the deeds. What they are doing is they're putting, they do illegal foreclosures, and then they turn around and after about a year, they write on the deed abandonment, that you abandoned your property, which they didn't. They stole the property. They're not writing foreclosures on it, so everybody got to keep an eye on that also.
Well, that's, that's what they do, is they come and tell you you've got to be out of your house by such time. And most people are out, and and that, of course, then is deemed to be abandonment.
Right.
And that's how they win.
Right.
But you haven't done that, so they're out of luck.
Yeah.
You didn't play by their rules, and so they can't beat you.
I tell you, it's just so crazy.
Well, it is. It's so, so illegal.
And see, our state is like the new Hollywood, and look what's happening in California. From the fires down to the mudslides, and everybody's moving back east. You know? And,
Yeah. Karma is hell.
Yeah. Yes, indeedy.
So, anyway, has anybody been into the website lately to take a look at the Courtroom Observer site and read what's on there?
I don't have the computer, so.
No, I know you don't. But it sounds to me like nobody has taken the time to do it lately. So I'm going to advise everybody to go in and read, once again, refresh your memories of what's on there and what it says. You know, we're in a new year, and we still got some time where we're going to need courtroom observers. And it's always good if you have the information that is posted on our website.
Okay. I'll
and
get somebody
also,
over it. So I can check it. But, yeah, we definitely. And that's
but
what
also,
I bring.
You know, pay attention to affidavits and how to fill them out.
Okay.
Well, that's for everybody. It's not just you. It's everybody. Needs to know how to fill out those affidavits and you know, to if you're in court, you can fill out that affidavit while you're sitting there listening to everyone.
Is there a form or anything, or is it a standard form or something?
Well, it's we have an affidavit form that's self-explaining on the website.
Okay.
And everybody
okay.
can download one. I know you don't have a computer, so that's a little difficult.
No. I'll have
to
them to download it because, you know, what we'll do, I'll have them to download it, and I'll just get a whole lot of copies made up. That's
yeah.
no problem. I'll go to a print shop.
Yeah.
That's great
well, anyway,
to know,
it's available. It's on the website, and everybody has the opportunity to use it, and it's you know, it's the way it's made up. It's self-explanatory, and but everyone needs to know how to make out an affidavit.
Right.
And as we've discussed on the call before, we should make out an affidavit every time we go in the courthouse as an observer and have it available for the defendants.
Okay.
And has anybody got anything to bring up at all?
Yeah, Robert, it's Jan in Kansas, and I'm glad we're back. Missed everybody over the vacation.
It has been a while.
Yeah, it has. I wondered if everybody was aware of the executive order that was written on December 20th, but it was put into effect on December 21st, 2017. And I don't have a number for it, but it's called the executive order. It's on whitehouse.gov under that date, 12/21/2017. The executive order blocking the property of persons involved in serious human rights abuse or corruption, and you know, not being a legal scholar or anything, it's just 2 pages, but I've spent a lot of time going over it to make sure that I understood it. And to me, it looks like a diamond that the president and his staff, you know, the people working with him, have put into effect. And I won't go through the whole thing, but it's worth reading. But pardon me. In Section 1, I'll just point out these 2 things unless I see something else here. in Section 1A to B1, you know how they do, but it says corruption, including the misappropriation of state assets, comma, the expropriation of private assets for personal gain, which apparently those who are in the courtrooms might perhaps be standing for expropriation of private assets for personal gain, comma, corruption related to government contracts or the extraction of natural resources, comma, or bribery. And then it goes on. There's a lot in here in a few words, you know, like our Declaration of Independence. Is, you have to almost take it apart word for word, or I do. And then over here, the president has gone into, and his staff, I guess, have gone into saying who they mean by all this. And one of the things, I should have made a little mark here. I thought I could find it. It says, give me just a second here. Well, anyway, it says that anybody who is, I wish I could find it, who is even attempting to do any of these things, anybody who is in any way trying to do any of these things, who has, oh, here we go, it's to have materially assisted, sponsored, or provided financial, material, or technical support for, or goods or services in support of any activity in the section that I just read, you know, where they're expropriating private assets for personal gain. So anyway, just to summarize, they're saying that anyone who has in any way, this would to me, but I, you know, don't listen to me. This is just my own, don't take it for legal what I'm saying. This is just my own reading of it, is that anyone, deputies, snitches, the county government, anyone who has been involved in the expropriation of personal assets for someone's gain is liable under this executive order. And what they're doing is they're apparently not putting them in jail, or at least not at this point, but what they're doing is they're freezing their assets. Now, we don't know where their houses and money and bank accounts are going once they're frozen. But on another website, and then I'll yield, on another website there was a suggestion that the people who've been harmed by this might look into 18 U.S. Code subsection 2333, which is civil remedies, action and jurisdiction. And I am going to read this real quick. Any national of the United States injured in his or her person, property, or business by reason of an act of international terrorism, which is what this is. They're acting under contract to deprive us of our constitutionally secured rights, in my opinion only, of an act of international terrorism, or his or her estate, survivors or heirs, may sue, therefore, in any appropriate district court of the United States and shall recover threefold damages he or she sustains and the cost of the suit, including attorney fees. Now, that would be, of course, you know, if we went into the federal court, but I'm just saying that since this is for me, for anything that I might have, that any suit that I see that I might have a claim to or feel that I have a claim to, what I intend to do is put in my claim for, you know, the damages and wait, you know, make my claim now and wait for our common law courts to be reestablished and then take it to court at that time. But, of course, I really don't think we even have to do that if we're going to take it into common law jurisdiction. But, you know, if we're lined up and already have made our claim, and we're claiming common law jurisdiction, they say, well, we don't have that. That's not legal anymore. You know, I'm just going to tell them, well, I'll wait until it is. Because I would rather wait and have my neighbors judge what's happened to me when all the evidence comes forward, even if it's 10 years from now. I'd rather have my neighbors know what happened and let the neighbors, let the community decide what kind of place we want to live in, you know. So I yield. Thanks for the time.
Well, the only thing about waiting that I see is it's an executive order. And so when Trump is replaced, you know, when he's no longer president, the next president can overturn that. Unless, of course, between now and then, Congress makes it a law officially.
Yeah, thanks for that, Robert.
So, you know, that's the thing with an executive order. There's no guarantees once the president is out.
Thank you. I didn't know that. Okay, that kind of throws a little different light on it. But, well, I'm with you. I hope that by, you know, the next 2 years even, I hope that we have our common law courts reestablished. They have a duty, since they've defrauded us, they have a duty to set them, this is my opinion, to set them up for us and then get the hell out, you know?
Yep.
That's our courts, and I yield.
Well, they are, and I do know about that executive order, and I was very happy to see it come in. And what brought it about, actually, was things like Uranium One here in Oregon and the land grabs by the feds. And, you know, there was money changing hands, people getting paid for running the ranchers out and everything. And some of that was a result of papers we wrote. Because before Trump even became president, we submitted the whole stack of all the papers we wrote about concerning land grabs and everything that was going on here in Nevada and Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And we got those to him through the Oregon Trump campaign people. In fact, he sent people out. They scanned all the papers and encrypted them and faxed them to Mr. Trump and the national RNC. And so then it was turned into a large book and filed. And so that was a lot of information that he had to refer back to. And so with him coming out with this executive order, it tells me that we had a hand in bringing it about. So, yeah, a lot of it was meant to get Hillary and Obama and some of the others, but it's going to be effective against a lot of officials everywhere.
Yeah, all of them.
Yep.
Really.
So it's a good deal. I just.
Thank you.
I hope they make it a law.
Well, I guess we better get, you know, our voices heard on that to see that it is put into to a law so that it stays even when his time's up.
Right. See, if you know, when you pay attention to what Mr. Trump is doing, he is overturning a lot of Obama's executive orders. And the same thing could be done to him unless they make it a law through Congress.
Right.
But the one thing about it, whether they make it law or not, there's no, you know, under common law, there's no statute of limitation. So have your papers, keep them, and they can be filed at any time. And once we do have the common law courts back, then you can still use them.
Yeah, and you bringing that up about them enacting it, this EO into law, Robert, his opening paragraph says the laws that he's basing the EO on. I mean, if somebody hasn't read this, I'm only saying this because apparently it was researched, and what Robert just said is absolutely true, you know, about overturning it. The next person could overturn it. But the president and his staff has said that this is vested, the authority vested in him as president by the Constitution, the laws of the United States of America, including the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, and then they get the cite, the National Emergencies Act, the Global Magnitsky Human Rights Accountability Act, the Immigration and Nationality Act, and Section 301 of Title III U.S. Code. So, excuse me. So it looks to me like, what would that be, all different jurisdictions, Robert?
Well, there, I'm sure there's several different ones.
Yeah.
But the thing is, everything that Mr. Trump is doing is constitutional. And so once we have our courts back, it'll still be constitutional, and it will give us the right to make our claims. See,
hey, Jan.
Go ahead.
Jan, what, sorry, excuse me, this is Mike Watchdog. Jan, where did you get that, from which site?
Whitehouse.gov.
Whitehouse.gov?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Now, Whitehouse.gov is one that everybody should be checking in with. You'll find a lot of good information.
Great. Now, I say, from what you read, and I was trying to interpret in relation to some cases that I've been dealing with and others have, as far as the assets and their properties whereby the court has allowed and the state has allowed these people in Child Protective Services all the tools to deprive children away from their parents. And, you know, for the courts to steal their property, I think that might even be relevant whereby it can be used in those cases for redress for at the end when they sue, when we sue the child protection and the family courts.
You are absolutely right. If I could read this just real quickly, in response to that, he says, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, find that the prevalence and severity of human rights abuse and questions that have their source in whole or in part outside the United States, and then he brings the United States in. have reached such scope and gravity that they threaten the stability of the international political and economic system. Human rights abuses and corruption have undermined the values that form an essential foundation of stable, secure, and functioning societies, have devastating impacts on individuals, weakened democratic institutions, degrade the rule of law, perpetuate violent conflicts, facilitate the activities of dangerous persons, and undermine economic markets. And that would include all this child sex trafficking that's going on.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing this for, is following the money. And they're doing it for money, whether they're trafficking them in within the actual states that they belong in and the counties to receive money from them. And when you start getting money from them by having kidnapped them, that also is trespass.
Right.
I mean, that is trafficking.
It is.
I have not thought of it in connection with that executive order, but now you bring it up, I believe it's something you can use for sure.
I believe it's relevant. I really do.
Yep.
Well, Jan, I'm glad you brought that up, though. Yeah, that's great.
I think that's something we need to get out to the masses.
Absolutely. And somehow write it up in such a fashion whereby people can use it in their cases.
Right.
And also when we do courtroom observing, we could, knowing what Jan just read and knowing that that's an order, an executive order, which is backed by the highest power in the land, other than God, we could justify our affidavits by witnessing what those corrupt people are doing in the deprivation of the rights of the parties.
Absolutely.
Well, and at the bottom, this threw me. I had to sleep on it two nights. In section 13, which is the last paragraph and the last sentence of this executive order, the president says, but don't everybody let your heart drop, because this order is not intended to and does not create any right or benefit, some substantive or procedural, enforceable at law or in equity by any party against the United States, its departments, agencies, or entities, its officers, employees, agents, or any other person, period, Donald J. Trump. Now, I thought that was a joker that he threw in there to just, you know, write out all this pretty stuff and then go back and void it all out with that last sentence. But what I realized, I believe, in the meantime, is that with him citing all the statutory and legislation that he was basing the executive order on, and then with this being brought up to go to the U.S. Code 18, subsection 2333, and start there for remedy, that I hope that the president was just pointing us to what we can use. You know, we cannot probably take the EO into a courtroom and use it for evidence against someone, but we can use it as backup for perhaps like the Magnitsky Act, you know, because he gave us the subsections and stuff where to look for the law that it was based on. So in summary, I think he was pointing us to the law that we can use in the courtroom.
I think what he did was he just solidified what Title 42 states. Because when I filed my 42 case against the family court, it took 2 years in order for them to dismiss my case, and they said I was correct in every one of my allegations and my claims that they had violated me and my children and my family. However, he dismissed it on a 12B6, failure to state a claim. So I filed an appeal. I went to the appellate court in Rochester, New York, and they said they cannot hear it. They don't have jurisdiction to hear it. And I couldn't understand why. I stood there for over an hour begging them to tell me why they don't have jurisdiction when the jurisdictional statement was the second paragraph in my case. And he came out and he wouldn't tell me. And then finally he called me over into the corner and he said, read it again. And I read the statement how that federal Title 42 applies to all government, state, local, and municipal politicians, you know, and I can't remember word for word at the moment, but I read it like two or three times. And he goes, see, we don't have jurisdiction. So I looked at him. I said, so what you're telling me is that the family court, child protection agencies, and child welfare is not a government agency. They're private. And he just smiled and looked at me and walked away. By that being private, by that being not part of the government, that's an allegation that we have to definitely substantiate. And we bring them in personally. It's not the family court that's doing it. It's the judge, him personally, or the people involved in the child protection individually.
Yeah, and the corporation.
Well, the corporation, you have a problem with the corporation, going after a corporation, because a corporation is only paper.
Yeah. Well, but they are personally liable, the people who are doing it, yes, they are.
Right, but if you sue them severally, then they go with the sovereign immunity. They've got immunity from it. And they play these games back and forth.
Well, with this executive order, should be able to go after the judge because he's doing it for personal gain.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they only have executive immunity under law if they're working within the scope of their public office, which they're not in public office, so they're acting as private individuals. And this is just stuff that we've been beaten over the head with, and people have been imprisoned for bringing this up, and we're just all going to have to lock arms and walk together forward. You know what I mean? Just stay together and walk forward together and just say, no, this is over with. We're doing it a different way now, you know.
Well, that's exactly what we need to do is unite and do everything together as a united effort. Because the people are in control. They have the power. But the only way that we can get, you know, that we can use it right now is to have the masses united. And so that takes education. So we need to it'd be good to be able to educate everybody that's had problems with CPS.
What did you say, Robert? There's a lot of scratching on the line. What did you just say?
Well, I just reaffirming that we do need to be united and work together.
And the more information we have, we can put something together so that we can work with other people and they could work with us.
Yes, and this is something that people who have been wronged by CPS need to know about.
Absolutely. Because he cited in what Jan read some international agreements, and I think they probably fall under the Geneva Convention as far as human rights in trafficking, whereby it doesn't matter that it's just here in this country. I mean, it's
right.
Everywhere.
Right. Well, we all need to realize that right now the pedophile rings are being rounded up.
Yep.
They're going to get them.
Yep.
And so he is, he's already on it, bringing people to justice for that.
They just seized one of Obama's places that he owns in Africa And the military went in there this last weekend, from what I saw in the video. I think it was last weekend or relatively close to that. And they seized 300 indictments. They arrested 300 people, and they seized all of the contents, which contained computers, hard drives, gold. There was a bunch of gold in there. There was a bunch of drugs in there, and military-grade weapons. And this was all run by Obama, and he was behind this whole thing. And that's a good start. I mean, that's not just the only ones that they've been doing. But like you said, with Guantanamo, that's where these guys are going to all end up and go. It's and, they can't do it quick enough for me.
They've also seized Clinton's property.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that.
Well, at least that's what I'm told.
Okay.
And it's a little difficult at this time to verify a lot
right,
of things
right.
because nobody official is saying anything right now.
They don't dare to. Nobody wants to let the cat out of the bag.
That's it.
Well, and not only that, there's arguments online, you know, not bad ones, but about, oh, well, they're violating their constitutional rights, but what they don't realize is that the people who are being rounded up now all volunteered to go into admiralty jurisdiction, so they are being tried. They're not under constitutional protection, and even, I keep referring back to this EO, but even the president, he says here in Section 7, for those persons whose property and interest and property are blocked pursuant to this order, who might have a constitutional presence in the United States. Then he goes on to say that there's no prior need of telling them that their assets are being blocked. But what he didn't really say, which we all know, or most of us know, is that those people, like, you know, that are serving in the federal government, they are not under constitutional protection. They're under admiralty international jurisdiction, and they can do a military tribunal on them anytime the president says to do it.
When they take their oath of office, they relinquish their sovereignty and they become a foreign agent.
Right. Yeah.
That's where they use the Foreign Sovereignty Immunity Act against us. Well, if they're foreign to us, we're foreign to them. And therefore, they can't use their laws against us then.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It has to work both ways.
They have sent 850 Army troops to Gitmo. These were people that were specially trained for FEMA camps. And now they're being used in Gitmo against Obama and all of them that trained them.
And Obama wanted to close Gitmo, and Trump said, no, we're going to keep it open. And people were mad because he wanted to keep it open. He had an ulterior motive.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Oh,
Robert, go ahead, Jan. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is the last I'll say. Well, two things. Is that so then apparently, though, with U.S. Code 18, U.S. Code 2333, apparently that sovereign immunity thing that you just brought up, which I didn't really, you know, that hadn't clicked through my head, apparently that doesn't apply if it's if they're carrying out terrorist attacks on us.
That code
says we can go after them if they're doing international terror. But the other thing I wanted to just throw out there, it's a little premature, is that, you know, those of us who have an inkling of what's going on, we are the ones who need to get ourselves ready inside of our constitution, in our own personal constitution, inside of our own minds, and get really make sure we're really strong, because we are the ones who, even behind the scenes, we are going to be the ones who know what to do. I've said this before, but we're the ones who know what to do, and we're the ones who know how to get it done, even if we're not the one at the microphone on a platform. And so I just wanted to encourage everybody to, you know, be whatever strengthens each of us spiritually or in our own essence, for us to be not to forget to do that. Because we're going to be called upon in our communities, our counties, our towns. We're the ones who are going to be out there doing this roundup type stuff. Maybe not with a gun and all that stuff. We're the ones who are going to be implementing the roundups in our own communities when that comes out.
The biggest thing that we're going to be called upon to do is to make sure that our county governments keep running.
Right.
That we don't lose the flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When all these criminals are put away, somebody's going to have to move in there and to take it over and to keep the justice going. And like Robert just said, to keep the county going with their system and to keep it strong with people that are righteous and people that will do the right thing constitutionally,
right,
so that we can get our republic back.
Right.
Bring it in. We have to bring it back in.
There's going to be there'll be a lot of people in every county that don't know what's going on. They won't know what to do. And so those of us in the know are going to have to take a leadership role.
Right. Absolutely.
I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. That's great. Great. Hey, Robert, I got one thing to ask you on the, I don't know how familiar you are with the affidavits that John had sent us in the email. This is about regarding New York State, how the governor has taken away all of our rights with our weapons and how he is taking away the authority of the county sheriff and giving it to the New York State police to come in and to be able to seize our guns and so forth. But he has an affidavit on a lawsuit that he's going to be filing. And I got mine out. I don't have it out yet. I didn't send it in yet, but I'm going to send it in to join the suit. Now, in my experience, when a person like myself who does not have a claim yet against them for damages, I don't know if I have standing to be a part of a lawsuit where I'm not a damaged party, unless under the common law, John is leaning towards the fact that we have the unalienable right, and what they're doing is they're trespassing and stealing our rights.
Well,
even though we have not been arrested, or damaged yet, or lost any of our guns yet, but I wonder if that's how he's looking at it, and if he feels it's going to stand.
Well, if you have first-hand knowledge, even though you're not a part of it, you have the right to submit an affidavit.
Right, right. Well, he's asking for everybody. He's asking for everybody within New York State to join in the lawsuit and to file these affidavits and to get on board with the lawsuit.
Well,
which is great. Which is great.
Absolutely.
But if we have not been actually damaged,
well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've been damaged or not. If you have first-hand knowledge, then you have that right.
Well, the first-hand knowledge comes within the edict that the governor has issued.
Right.
Correct. And it's all over the news and the newspapers and the radios, and everybody's up in arms over it. Scope is talking about it. They're all frantic about it. And we've got until the 31st of January to reissue our pistol permits. Otherwise, they're going to label everybody felons.
Well, write that affidavit.
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. That's we're making headway in that family court case that we have down in Alabama, the one I was talking to you about with the grandchildren, with the four grandchildren. Child Protection now is starting to scramble and shake between their knees, and they're contacting now the grandmother wanting to do a placement thing, wanting to know if she still wants placement with the grandkids. And you're darn right, that's what she's been fighting for and we've been fighting for, and I think they're scared. I think they're scared down there. So things are working in a positive direction in that regard.
Absolutely nice. I love to hear that kind of thing.
Yep. I'll keep you guys posted as the outcome of what's happening.
All right.
Okay. Well, I yield. Anybody else that wants to talk? Robert, thank you so much.
It's time to close the call off now. So, you know, I appreciate the input from everyone. This is great news, and I think we've discovered some new things this evening, and we're going to use it.
Absolutely.
So we'll see you all next week, and thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having it again.